2 weeks ago, we saw the last zugas, the last pairs, which was the first pair of the Mishnah, which is Yossi ben Yochanan and Yossi ben Yoezer. And what we explained, that what they introduced was the idea, this is the beginning of the Hellenism, of the entering or the clash between Greek philosophy and the Greek culture with the Jewish culture, with Klal Yisrael. And they introduced the concept of machloikes, of argument, of having the ability that the power has to be diffused. They are the representation of diffusion of power, that diffusion of ideas, that's the benchmark, the linchpin of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah is based upon argument, upon checks and balances, upon the idea of the diffusion, and Klal Yisrael being the representative of God in this world, which is very different than the whole concept of Hellenism, right? Hellenism, Chazal always pointed that's the idea of one. The word henya, hen, in Chazal, they say that this is the word in Greek, because in Greek they called one hen, henya. And the idea is that Greek is Hellenism, is cultural hegemony, is basically infiltrating their own and imparting their own philosophy. Klal Yisrael is the idea that there is a multitude of thoughts, a multitude of opinions, and a balance between all of them. That's Yossi, that's one of the deed was the introduction of the pairs, that now the court, the Sanhedrin, is run by a pair, by the Nossi and the Avvesdin, that they have to counterbalance each other. The beginning of Machloikes. And one of the things we saw that at the same time is the Hasmoneim, is the Hasmoneim, the Hasmoneim revolt. The Hasmoneim come to revolt against the Seleucid Greeks. And they actually are Kohanim Gdoilim, and they take upon themselves also the kingdom. They become kings. That's the Hasmonean dynasty. That's the Hasmoneim. And we explain that the first generation of the Hasmoneim is one generation, Chazal don't even talk about it. And then you have the story of Yochanan Kohen Gadol that we saw last week. And Yochanan Kohen Gadol, we're going to see in the Gemara that he was, in the beginning, seen as this very, very holy person. He hears the Baskol and Kodesh HaKodoshim. And at the end of his life, Chazal is going to portray that he became a Tzduki. But it's interesting because Chazal portray Yochanan Kohen Gadol as the Kohen Gadol. But in essence, he was one of the great rulers of the Hasmoneim. He was a great king. But as you'll see, that one of the issues that Chazal have, why Chazal, L'chora, call him a Tzduki, is precisely because he centered the power of the Kehuna, Gdoila, and the Malchus together. And for Chazal in the Yerushalmi, two powers, these two, which is Kehuna, Gdoila, for sure Kehuna, and Malchus, can never be together. You need always two people to balance each other. So by the fact that that Yochanan Kohen Gadol basically cultivated a situation or he centered the power to himself, Chazal are going to see that as the beginning of the Tzduki movement. And look at the first source where you have all the on the source sheet. Is the Gemara in Brochas Daf Chof Tes. The Gemara says, Omar Abai, Gmir Yidol Tavol Havabisha. Abai says that somebody good can never become bad. So the Gemara asks, Veloi, the second line, V'atnan Altamin Be'atzim Echad Yom Moizcha, says the Mishnah, you should not believe in yourself, you should not trust yourself at the day of death. She'echon G'godol, Shimon Shukun Agdoel Hashmoin Yimshol Osov Natsituki. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, which is the second generation, right? This is the second generation of the Hasmoneim. He was a pious person for 80 years, and he turned into a Sadducee, he turned into a Tzduki, B'shloif Yomav, Omar Abai, Hu Yana, Hu Yochanan. That here we're talking about the next generation, which is the third generation, which is the son of Yochanan, who becomes Yanai, and he was the one who became evil. And Rav Omar, Yanai lechud v'yechon lechud, Rav argued, says, no. Yanai was a bad king, the third generation, but it still started from Yochanan Kohen Gadol that became a Rosh at the age of 80. Yanai, Rosh HaMekorah. Yanai was bad and evil from the start. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a tzaddik mikoroi, was a pious person, and he becomes a tzduki b'seif yomov. Now, what's the machloikis between here? If he was a tzduki or wasn't a tzduki? I think that it's very hard. How does Yochanan Kohen Gadol become a tzduki b'seif yomov? I think the definition of tzdukim, of the Sadducees as a movement, you'll see, is the control of power. Is the ability, I think, what divides and the distinguishment, and Josephus says clearly, between the Prushim and the Tzdukim, between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Pharisees was a democratic movement, was a diffusion of power. Chazal were very much into the idea of dividing the power, because now it's not God coming to people, it's people coming transcending to God. For you to be able to transcend to God, you need to have checks and balances, because people have biases, people have egos, and that stops people from going up. And therefore, you needed the balance. And the definition of the tzduki is the concentration of power. They become the aristocracy, but they become this idea of consolidating the malchus, which is the political power, and the kihuna, which is the priesthood. And you see that this becomes real in the story of Yanai. Now we're going to go to the next generation, which is truly the beginning of the second generation of the Zugis. And look at what the Gemara tells you, the story about Yanai, which is the third generation of the Hashmonaim. The Tanya Mainse B'Yanai HaMelech. It's a story by Yanai HaMelech. Yanai is the third generation. He was a very powerful king, and he went to Egypt and he conquered 60 cities. When he came back, he was very happy. And he called to all the Chachomim. When our forefathers came from the Second Commonwealth, for Bai Shein, they were very poor, and they were eating salt food, meaning herring. So we should also be and behave poorly, even though they were very wealthy, they were conquering. And they brought salty foods to be able to keep in tables of gold. There was a very evil person. He tells the Yanai, you should know that the Prushim are trying to overthrow you. So he, Anamel says, how do I know? How am I going to find out? Hakim lahem betzitz shebeninecha. So it's, Rashi says you should use the tzitz as a way to check them, or hakim. Shaul Lieberman says you should make them swear on the tzitz, because the tzitz had God's name. You should make them swear. Hikim lahem betzitz ve'yasham zeken echad Yehuda ben Gedaliah shmo. So Rahididia told him, I'll tell you the truth. It's enough for you to be a king. You are a king, relinquish the priesthood. Because I told you, Chazal, again, are against the idea of the consolidation of power. So the Libam Shel Prushim Alecha, the Gemara is telling you, why are the Pharisees against you? Because they are telling you, you are a king, be a king, relinquish the priesthood. Shayu Oimrim, so Chazal explained, Imoy Nish Bezemuidim, that he's not even raw, he's not even ready to be a priest, because he's a posel kehuna, because his mother was raped. But they realized that he couldn't find out, he wasn't really a cholol. So they couldn't find out there was a chol. Chazal were against the idea of consolidation of power. And he went and he separated all the chachomim, and they said, these people are trying to overthrow me. So he just went ahead and he separated, he communicated them. He says, listen, this would have been right if you'd have been a regular person, but you're a king. You are a melech and you are the high priest. That's what you do? You just excommunicate them? So Yanai asks this guy, Uma ese, what should I do? you should kill all of them. V'toira matehe alea. So the Gemara says, what happens to Torah? He says, don't worry, Torah will be there. You don't need the Chachomim for Torah. Anybody who wants to learn, the Sefer Torah is there. Forget about the people. This is the beginning of the Sadducees as a movement. He should have said on second, you could go ahead and have Sefer Torah, but if you don't have the Chachomim, you don't have Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh, Mahi. He went and he did a mass execution. This is the war against, between the Hashmonoim, the Sadducees. This is the beginning, I think, of Sadducees as a movement. They went ahead, and Josephus says, they persecuted all the Pharisees. And the world, Eretz Yisrael, became desolated. There were no Pharisees. Shimon ben Shotach, until his brother-in-law, which is the third generation of the Zugus, comes as Shimon ben Shotach, ve'echzira Torah liYoshna, and he brought the Torah back to Yoshna. The question is, what happened? We know that this is the time of the second pair of the Zugus. Who is the second pair of the Zugus? It's Yeshua ben Prachia and Nitaihar Bailey. One second, if Yanai went and killed all of them, what happened to them? Because this is the beginning of the Sadducees controlling and seizing power, seizing the Kehuna Gdoila together with Malchus. Right? They take the political power and the priesthood. You realize that politics and religion, politics and religion don't really mix. Right? We have seen this. If you take money, politics and religion is something very explosive. Here the Gemara is telling you, Yanai Melech was very wealthy, right? Because you just conquered 60 cities. He had the political power, and you put the priesthood together, the religion, you create a monster. And this is the beginning of the Sadducees as a movement to control. Chazal say that this started by Yochanan, his father, because he controlled the power. The Hashmonoim were not, because they didn't become such strong rulers. The beginning of the strong rulers is Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the father of Yanai. Now, I'm going to read you the Gemara, which is so important. And I'm sorry that I don't have the sources to give you, because I forgot to make the copy. But, no, I forgot to send it. But I'm going to read the Gemara and translate. The Gemara in Daf, Kuf Zayin Amud Beis in Sanhedrin. We don't have in our Shas, because this is the story of Christianity and of Jesus that was taken away by the censors. And the story goes like this. The Gemara says like this, Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia. The Gemara is trying to say that if you have a student, you never push him away. You push him away with your left hand and you bring him closer with your right hand. So the Gemara says, what's the example? Okay, Bishtei Adayim. The Gemara says you should never do like Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia, which is the second generation of the Shedocho li Yeshua Nosri Bishtei Adayim, because he pushed Jesus, right? Jesus from Nazareth, he pushed him away with two hands. So the Gemara says, Maihi, what's the story? So this Gemara is a conclusion of the Gemara in Kiddushin. Kedikatlinu Yanai Malkel Rabbanu, at the time when Yanai the king persecuted the Chachomim, so what happened? Ozer Yeshua ben Prachia v'Yeshua l'Alexander shel Mitzrayim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia, the second generation of Zugis, together with Jesus of Nazareth, flew and he ran away to Alexandria of Egypt. Everybody knows that Jesus also went to Egypt, right? They went back to Egypt and they hid themselves outside of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was controlled by the Tzedukim, by the Sadducees at that time, and they had to run away to Egypt. Okay? When Shimon ben Shatach decided to go ahead and to bring back the Chachomim, because he was the brother-in-law of Yanai, right? We just saw that he brought him back. Sholach li Shimon ben Shatach min Yerushalayim Mirakoidesh lichi Alexander Shmisayim. He wrote the following message. Here is a message from Jerusalem to the Alexandria. Achois, my sister, because there were two communities. And they said, "What bali sharui betochech." My husband, Yerushalayim, is saying to Alexandria, is among you, in your midst. And I'm sitting desolated. So the message was in cryptic to Shimon, to what you call it, to Yishub ben Prachia, that now you should come back. So the Gemara says like this: Osa v'isromeli haushpiza. He went and he went back. He was in some kind of a hotel. Ovduli yekoratuva. They made him and they gave him a lot of respect. Yishub ben Prachia. Omar kama yefach san yezu. He said, "How nice is this hotel or this place that they are taking us in?" Omalei Rebbe. So Jesus tells him, "Enea truto is her eyes around. She has funny eyes." Omalei. So Rabbi Yishub ben Prachia tells Jesus, "Rosha, you're such a rosha. Bekachata oisik. This is what you interested on her eyes." Opik arba mioy shipure v'shamti. Took 400 blows of shofar at that time to announce, and he put Jesus in his excommunicated. He excommunicated Jesus. Osa lekame kamazim. Jesus tried to reapproach, to come back to Yishub ben Prachia. Omalei kablan, take me back. Lohave kamashkach beir. Yishub ben Prachia didn't listen to him. Yoy machad avikore krishma, but Yishub ben Prachia was reading krishma. Osa lekamei, so Jesus comes to him. Sova lekabule, he thought. Rabbi Yishub ben Prachia said, "You know something, I'm going to take him in again. I'm going to accept him back." Ach veli biyode, so he just showed him in the hand, "I'm davening." So like you say to the guys, wait a second. Sova, who sovar mit chadocheli, so Jesus was under the impression that Yishub ben Prachia was pushing him out again. Ozal Zokov Leventa, he went ahead and he raised the brick. Upolachle, Vishtachvela, and he bowed down to that brick. Omale Hodarboch. So Rabbi Yishub ben Prachia tells Jesus, "Change your mind, come back." Omale Kachme Kublan, too late. Kola Choit Dumak de Sarabim, anybody who does a chet and causes order to sin, Ein Maspikim Biodo Lasush Tshuva. We can make Tshuva. V'yomar mar, that's what the Gemara says, Yeshua Notzi, Jesus of Nazareth, Kishef, he did all kinds of magics, he was a magician, Vehesis, and he went to head and convince him to take people away from the Derech, V'idiach, that's why he can't come back. So Rashi says, Yane Malka, so Rashi quotes here, Kohen Gadol Hayah, this is the Kohen Gadol, he doesn't quote, but that's the Kohen Gadol in Kiddushin I just read to you. V'kota l'kul rabbon, he kills all the rabbon. Okay. What? So the problem is, it's so anachronistic. Yishub ben Prachia is 150 years before the Common Era, 130 years before the Common Era, and Jesus of Nazareth. The story happened when? Now, there is the reason I've told you. I'm going to show you here. I have a theory. I think it's a real theory, and you see how it fits into the story of Chazal. Because the problem is, some people would come and say. You know something, really, Jesus of Nazareth lived in the year 130 BC. The reason why the church moved him to the year 50, give or take, give 30, whatever, in the beginning of the first century of the Common Era, is to go ahead and to tie his death to the destruction of the temple, to use it as a narrative. They see God wanted Jesus, and he didn't. So in other words, that we have the right, quote-unquote, chronology, and the Christian church distorted the chronology. And there are a few Choshve people who say that. Now, why isn't this true? First of all, I'll tell you, we have, on Jesus of Nazareth, very few historical, I know of two historical accounts that he actually existed as a person, meaning the New Testament doesn't mean anything. People, first of all, the New Testament was written way before, meaning the Gospels were written way before, after his death, right? So I quote you, Tacitus wrote something called the Annals of Rome. I have the copy for you here. And the Annals of Rome are what's called, in good historical terms, is called independent attestation. Is somebody who is not a Christian, who has nothing to do with Christians, who tells you the story. So it's an independent attestation, and this is usually a very good proof of the reality. And he's talking about when Nero burned Rome to kill the Christians. Consequently, to get rid of the report, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hated for their abominations, called Christians by the populace. Now, take a look how he explains. Christus, from whom the name had its origin of the Christians, suffered extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hand of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilatus. So Pontius Pilatus, meaning he was the proctor of what's called of Jerusalem. Okay. And so Tacitus is telling you that Jesus lived in the time of Tiberius, which is Pontius Pilate. He was the one who killed him, right? Because he was the proctor of what's called of Jerusalem at the time. And this is in the beginning of the first century of the Common Era. So that could never be in the Shubim Brachia. So here you have independent attestation that the chronology of the Christians is right, is not a made-up chronology. And the Gemara is completely anachronistic to put him together with the Shubim Brachia. And first of all, why did Chazal do that? But, we'll see in a second. But now I want to show you that this is not only the annals of Rome. Even Chazal, let's look in the next source. Benayahu ben Yehuda. Zui midas papus ben Yehuda. The Gemara quotes that Jesus, in the time of Jesus, there was somebody called Papus ben Yehuda. Anybody who knows the New Testament, I think I know who the person is. Chazal or Meramis, who it is. Right? Papus ben Yehuda was involved within the story of Jesus. Afal gav de hayadua, so the Benayahu ben Yehuda, right? Ben Ishchai says, even though the hayadua, I mean, even though the known Jesus, hayabi meir shobi prachia, so he takes our chronologies right. According to Chazal, he lived in shobi prachia. Upapus ebi meir bekiv. Papus was much later, right? It was in the time of Rebbe Akiva, the time of the Churban. Itochen tre papus ayu. So he says, no, with the chronology, the Gemara is right. Maybe the papus with Jesus is a papus ben Yehuda, which was earlier. Osh zeshay bimir shem imprache, erich yom marmo. Could be, like always the answer is either there are two, or could be the papus ben Yehuda lived 200 years, right? Nishas one Rebbe Akiva. Always, when you have these anachronistic stories, they'll say that either there are two people, like it's called the Chazal double vision. They always have two people in Chazal. So not two Jesus, two Papus ben Yehuda, or the Papus ben Yehuda lived like hundreds of years. Okay, now let me show you the Maral says. The Maral explains in Masechta Sanhedrin, Vein dover muchan difne odem shein tzorech lakliskum alveina. What does it mean that Jesus bowed down to a brick? Why a brick? He says, because a brick is something ready. You don't have to create anything. He bowed down to the existence, to reality. Lekach noker levin, levin is a brick. He went ahead and he worshipped a new reality. That's what he's trying to say. Velo barak la'arot shatzal tarbut ro. What it means to say that he went out of the derech. He went and he created a new reality. He created a brick. He created a reality which is different than ours. So he decided to go away and to create like a new civilization, a new reality. That's why he bowed down to a brick. A brick meaning is the basic foundation of a society. Instead of worshiping the sun, the moon, it's not it. He created a new reality. He created a different reality than God made reality to you, he did. That's what Chazal means that he made a levina. So the question is, what does that mean that he created a new reality? How does Jesus of Nazareth create a new reality? But continue. So he says, this story of Jesus could not have been the Jesus of Herod, the Jesus that we know, the Jesus of Herod, the Jesus of the first century. Because it's anachronistic. Yishubim Pracha was the second pair, which is the year, the second century, right before the Common Era. Hurdus was around the first century of the Common Era. That's three generations later. So the Maral takes a different take. He says, well, the Christians blame the Jews that we keep talking about Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and saying that he worshiped brick and etc. This is not the same Jesus that they are talking about. So the Christians say that the pshat in the Gemara, what does it mean that Jesus went ahead and he took a brick, levena? So the Christians used to say that this is a way for the Jews to mock Christ. Why? Because levena is ben, is a son. So they used to say the reason why you worship a brick, because a brick in Hebrew is levena, it means he made himself into God's son. So this is a way of the Jews to mock Jesus. Hello, Balila Boimali says, no, that's not true, because the Jesus that the Gemara is talking about is some Jesus that lived when? In the Tavir Shobim Prachi. It has nothing to do with the Jesus of Nazareth. Even though the Gemara calls him the Jesus of Nazareth. He can't compare the Jesus of Herod, right, the king, which was in the time of Pontius Pilate and what you call it, and the story of Tiberius, but it's a different one. He says this has nothing to do with Herod or Tiberius. So his view of the Maral is that this Jesus is a different Jesus. So you have here the famous story, either there were two Jesus, or that there were two Pappus ben Yehuda, or Pappus ben Yehuda lived so long. What does that mean? What does the Chazal call him Jesus de Nazareth? But I'll tell you, Chazal are telling you here something unbelievable. If you understand what happened in this at this time, when they went ahead and the Sadducees took control of Yerushalayim, there were groups that splintered away because he sent all the people away. People saw corruption taking place. Chazal, the Prushim, the Pharisees went to Alexander of Mitzrayim. At the same time, there was another group that was formed. Josephus calls this group the Essens, but they are the Hasidim that they went to the desert. They never wanted to go back. The Prushim come back to Yerushalayim, and they decide to live together with the Sadducees. And the Hasidim run away. This is the time that Hanukkah becomes reinterpreted, because this is the time that all the religious people decide to rebel against the Hashmonaim, because the Hashmonaim become the Sadducees. So what happens at this time? This is the reinterpretation, the reframing of the story of Hanukkah. So Hanukkah gets reframed. We are going to see that at this time of the Yochanan and of Yanai, there is a narrative created on the story of Hanukkah called Maccabees. Maccabees 1 and Maccabees 2. And Maccabees 1 and Maccabees 2, in my view, these people who they talk about, the Hasidim, are the founders of the people who ran away to Qumran to open that essence, whatever, that community of people who ran away from Yerushalayim because of the corruption of Yerushalayim. So you have here, I'd like to go over Maccabees 1 and Maccabees 2, okay? And that's the one that says Perek Beis on top. He says, Maccabees 2 says clearly, as Yordu Rabbi, many people went, this is the reframing and the retelling of the story of the first generation of Maccabees, the rebellion against the Hellenists, against the Seleucid Greeks. But this was told, most scholars say this was, and it's very clear in the time of Yochanan of Yanai. So this is a reframing, retelling, projecting a new story onto Hanukkah. And they say, as Yordu Rabim, Mevakshom Tzedek U'Mishpat, there were many people who were trying to find the truth. El Hamidbar LaShevesham, they ran away to the Midbar, to the caves, to sit there, right? You realize they are looking that the Hashmonaim went to the caves, which is them going to the caves, right? They're trying to reframe the Hashmonaim on their own views. Look at what it says in the next page. As Nesfu Aleim Kal Hasidim Yehudim, there was a group of pious Jews, and the Hasidim, we know that they are called, that name Hasidim is called the people who became this, they became the people who ran away to Qumran. They became, because they became ascetic, they were very ascetic, they were very pure, and there were people who wanted to run away, to separate themselves from the corruption of Shalayim. Kol misnadev letaira. Okay? So you see clearly that they are talking about the Hashmonoim, the people going to the caves and the mountains. Now listen how they talk about, how they tell the story of Hanukkah. In Perek Dalet, ve'yashkibu boker ha-chamisha ve'si b'chodesh ha-tshi'i, in the 25th of Kislev, hu chodesh Kislev, b'shna ha-shmoyne v'arboim u'mea, in the year 148, v'ailu korban kechoka b'zbeach, ola ha-chodesh asher asu, they make a korban, b'zman b'yom asher bochilu yisu ha-goyim, in the day that the goyim, years before, 3 years before, destroyed the Bisamikdash, b'yomu nechtach b'shir v'katrusim, they re-inaugurated the Bisamikdash, b'kinom b'tzal time, v'yiplu kol amal pneim, v'yishtachavu, and the Jews, thank God, and they decided to make the inauguration of the Mizbeach for how many days? For 8 days. And they make korbanos, and this is the inauguration of the Hanukkah. Now, what's missing here blatantly? The menorah, the nes of the candles. Where's the candles here? They're saying they decided to celebrate the inauguration of the Mishkan for 8 days. That's Maccabees 1. Okay, this is. Now, Maccabees 1 is actually later, Maccabees 2, huh? So you'll see, you're going to see, look at something very interesting. This is a continuation of Maccabees, just continues, you'll see. This is Maccabees 1. They made a holiday for 8 days. So that's why they react. The same way the inauguration of the Mishkan was for 8 days, they decided to continue for 8 days. That's Maccabees 1. Now Michael said, why 8 days? Where the heck they get 8 days from? So let's see Maccabees 2. So Maccabees 2 tells you like this. Maccabees 2 is actually earlier than Maccabees 1. Right, and that's probably the end of the kingdom of Yochanan. Since the 25th of Kislev, we are going to celebrate the inauguration of the Mikdash. Chashavnu shimin ha'echler lavhir lachem. We wanted to clarify to you what was the celebration. You should, the inauguration of Hanukkah was made to celebrate in the same way of Sukkot. The same way in Nehemiah, they did in Sukkot. And they did it. The same way we are going to celebrate Chag HaSukkos. And he explains why. Continues. In the years, the same day, the 3 years before the Yerushalayim was desecrated. That's the day that the Eichel was brought back to function, became Tohar. They decided to make a holiday for 8 days. To remind you, Chag HaSukkot. He says the reason why they celebrated is because when Sukkot was celebrated, they could not be in Yerushalayim. They had to celebrate where? Again, in the caves. This is the focus of the case. Maccabees 2 also is the focus of the case. Velachen be'achzika matos v'anofim ronagam kapos mor, so they brought lulavim, hemelo bizmorim b'shisleir d'akam l'ter b'kom, and they went back to the Beis HaMikdash to celebrate the Chag HaSukkos that they weren't able to celebrate before. 1 second. Where is the 8 days, the candles, all the story of the candles of the 8 days? Where is it? We're going to talk about the candles because the candles, you see, the Maral is also reframing of the Prushim of the story of Hanukkah. The story of Hanukkah is very, very unique because every miracle till now, there was a prophet that told you what the message was. Even Esther, Esther beruach hakodesh nemra, Chazal said Esther was a neviya and Mordechai was a novi. So they told you what's the message. Here's a case that there was a rebellion against the Seleucid Greeks that the Jews took upon themselves to go ahead and to rebel and to wage a war. And now you see that the people who celebrated, who did this, became corrupted. They took and co-opted the Beis HaMikdash and co-opted power and had what was an anathema, right? They controlled politics power, money, and religion. Like, became like the worst corruption that we are seeing. So when you put those three together, you have like a disaster. Money, politics, and religion. That's what he had. So now people looking back, so God made all this miracle. What's the message? What did he want here? So the reframing here is that the reframing of Maccabees 1 and Maccabees 2 clear is that all the Hanukkah was to celebrate and to give power to these people of Hasidim. Who are the Hasidim? The people who ran away from Yerushalayim to the caves to save themselves from all the corruption of the Hellenists. They are the ones who went to fight, and they celebrated for 8 days, specifically because these people could not celebrate Sukkot in the caves. This is Qumran. In my view, this is the beginning of Qumran. Qumran is that community that was built outside of Yerushalayim. We found so many things about them who hid in the caves. Chazal are telling us something unbelievable. That the Jesus movement, Jesus was not an isolated case that happened in the first century of the Common Era. Jesus is a development that really started when the community came back. I told you, and I think that when the community came back, Yeshua ben Prachia is the beginning of the various movements. You see that he created the community, the movements. And Jesus means those people who are the Hasidim who had to run away. Instead of bringing them closer, he pushed them out. And according to Chazal, this Qumran, the beginning of the community of Qumran, is the genesis of the Christian movement. They created the master. We know they had something called the Moreh Tzedek, the master of righteousness. The master of righteousness, there are so many similarities, but I'm going to show you how this Chazal was so right. There are so many similarities. You could not create a Christian movement. It was not something that came out of nothing. There was an expectation. There was a community waiting. Jesus just threw the plug. Was he instead of the Moreh Tzedek, the teacher of righteousness? Perhaps. But let me show you something amazing, what we found. And I think this is such an unbelievable. So Chazal are saying that Yeshua ben Prachia, when he created the community, the Poshup Shad Ben Yilau says, and that's true, when Chazal say that her eyes are crooked. What means her eyes are crooked? Well, Chazal always say that the eyes of the people are the leaders. Einei Ha'eda. So they were coming back and they took back the Chachomim. Jesus, meaning that community, said, you know something? We don't like the leaders. We think Yerushalayim is still corrupted. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia pushed them away. So they created, that's why they created a break, because they created a new community. And that community, Chazal says, Avodah Zarah. And they, Kebeyocha, blamed Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia for pushing away. He created the Jesus. That's why they say it's not the same person. It's the idea of Jesus of Nazareth. Let me show you the proof that this is right, I think. We have found a lot of stuff in Qumran. So in Qumran, you have what's called the apocalyptic writings. And this is the apocalyptic writings that I want to read with you. Halo bezois timsu es adnus. You find the master, it says, kol ha-miyachalim libam, ki adonai ha-chasidim, ki ha-shem, adnus, chasidim yivaker. He's going to go ahead and to look for the chasidim. Totally, the people in the caves called this chasidim. Ubetzadiki b'shem ikra. Ve'alanovim ruchi terachef. And the people who are the humble people, because they lived in the caves, God will show his presence. Ve'munim yachli b'koicha. Ki achrabe desa chasidim akise kovet malchusad. Because the people of the chasidim are going to be given the kingdom back. So take a look what will happen. Matir Asurim, he will go ahead and relinquish the people who have been enslaved, who have been imprisoned, because they were imprisoned. Pokeach Ivrim, he will make the blind see. Zoykev kekufufim. Uleoila madabek bimiachrim lechazdo. Anybody who has been waiting for him will be there. Opri loitacher. V'nichbosh uleyase adus kasher diber kirape chalolim. He will make sick people healthy. Umeisim yechaye. He's going to make people dead come back. Anovim Yevaser. He's going to go and give a good news to the people who are humble. Everybody knows the Evangelion is the good news. V'shim enachel v'reivim yasher. You make the people who are hungry wealthy. So you realize that what's going to come, when God's going to come, the Savior, is going to pokeach ivrim, matir asurim. Now if you compare this to the following in Luke, look at Luke. Luke is the Gospels. Look at the Gospels. The Gospel says like this, the disciples of John reported all these things to him. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask. They asked him to Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Or will we wait for another? See clearly, are you the one? Or maybe there is somebody else. Why somebody else? Because it's people. When the man had come for him, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? Clearly, they're waiting for another. Jesus had then just cured many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, anovi merachef, given sight to many who were blind. And he answered them, tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive the sight, the lame have walked, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. And this is the Raya, blessed anyone who takes no offense at me. So Jesus tell John, tell these people, I'm the one, because I just did these things. So if you look at it, you look at the Qumran, they said that God had promised to do all these things for them. And Jesus is telling you, I'm the one who have been waiting for me, because I just did what you have been waiting for. It's amazing how this comparison, meaning where does it say anywhere, the Mashiach will do this?
John is Yohanan, right?
Huh?
The word for John is Yohanan.
Yeah, Yohanan or Yohanan. Uh-huh. Yohanan. They're so interesting. But not by Mashiach. It's so interesting. No. In Mashiach, but this idea of that to make rich people, poor people wealthy, it's so interesting. The deaf hear, the poor have good news brought to them. Where does it say Yevusrum Soris Toivus to the poor people? They'll get good news, they'll get a lot of money, not get good news. But if you look in Qumran, that's what he said. That's, if you look at the Loshon, his mom is exactly the same. It's very hard. By the way, Yohanan, everybody, a lot of people say that Yohanan perhaps is the master of righteousness of the community, because there's so many similarities between John the Baptist. Because first of all, baptism is Qumran. Qumran had this idea of baptism, this idea of going to the baptism to accept the mikveh maim, accepting the community. This was a Qumranic thing, the baptism. So John the Baptist is the one who they have convinced John the Baptist that Jesus is the right one. They see clearly, is he the one or is there somebody else? Clearly, they were waiting for somebody to have those simonim. Chazal are telling you, don't ever think the Jesus of Nazareth, because Chazal understand that the Jesus of Nazareth, the story of Papus ben Yehuda, like Tosafot says, he lived in the time of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate, he was the proctor of Rome. But Chazal are saying, where did Jesus of Nazareth start? Is Yeshua ben Prachya when he pushed them away? And he pushed them away, and that was the idea of the Frumkeit. So Yeshua ben Prachya, according to Chazal, and when you're going to see what Yeshua ben Prachya teaches of the Zugas, this is the beginning of Christianity. So the beginning, Chazal are saying, the beginning of Christianity is not the movement that God sent his son. Is because there was a community that believed that they were the Hasidim, that the whole story of Hanukkah has to do with them. The Hanukkah was that God made it 8 days to celebrate the days that they were in the caves. And then they were pushed away. So this becomes, and Chazal understand that this, by Yeshua ben Prachya, saying Shema, the idea of the Yichud Hashem and etc., he pushed them away. And Kibbeyochol, he broke that Yichud Hashem by pushing them away. So this is Chazal say, small doichavim in Mekareves. So L'chorah, Chazal are saying that this beginning of Christianity is the generation of Yeshua ben Prachya, because Yeshua ben Prachya, what was unique about Yeshua ben Prachya? If you look back at the Mishnah. Let's go back now to the source sheets. In the source sheets, you have the Mishnah. Yeshua ben Pracha v'nita arbei li kibru mehem. They were mekabel from the first zugis. Yeshua ben Pracha yoimer aseh lecha rav. You have to make a rav. Which is so interesting because you realize that that's what they did. The master of righteousness is the aseh lecha rav. Ukne lecha chaver. You should have a chaver, which means you should create a community. V'yavidan es kol hadam lekavzchus. But this is the idea that you should be accepting of people. You see, the Hasidim puzzled everybody else. That's why they went and they realized that this is corrupted. They need a Mashiach to come, and that's Simon and Mueni for Mashiach. They were, by essence, apocalyptic. And that's what Nita Arbeli Oimer. Take a look, Nita Arbeli is the opposite, but also being a community. Archei Mishachen Ra. Go and distance yourself from Mashochen Ra. Do not connect the Rosh. Don't be afraid that you'll be left over. Realize that these are the messages of Qumran. Right? This is the message of Qumran. But Chazal are saying that this message that they gave, which is the building of community, in some ways, he closed his eyes and he pushed that community away back to the Midbar. And Chazal say, this is what led to Jesus of Nazareth. Yes?
I can't remember somewhere in the Talmud, you talk about the Chachamim putting people, keep people, having them and sending them to start something like the religion, to pull like Malshinim to see who was real and who wasn't from the...
It's perhaps some ideas that you could interpret, and some people say this, told us, yes, but much later. Much later. But this is the what's called the proto-Christianity. Chazal are saying that this idea, so, and look at the Maral. The Maral says clearly this idea. Take a look how the Maral explains. Says the Maral, skip to Derech HaChaim, Pish Dovar Zeh, Acha Shazuk Shlifneim, Tik Da'od HaBinyan HaGod HaZdei. So if you write Yosef Ben Yoichan and Yosef Ben Yoezer, what they did was to create the home, the Jewish home. Why? And that makes sense, right? The Jewish home is because this is the beginning of the diversity. This is the beginning of Golus. There was never Golus in Yerushalayim. The first Golus in Yerushalayim was in the Hellenists took over. There was a Golus Yoven in Eretz Yisrael. So you had to create boundaries. And your space and boundaries was Yerushalayim, your home. So that's why the first Zug talks about creating a home. Bahazuga Sharachareyam, the second Zug, Vem Talmidim Shiratakim Nyadam Ichnegim Abriyos. He created society. How do you build a new society? Yosef ben Yoezer, Yosef ben Yochanan, take the person to build a home. That's the building of a home, to build your own space. That's why there's machloikis, there's diversity. There is diversity among people. But he goes to the next step, is taking this diversity and build it into a community. V'dover zeh chutz lebeisoi. V'zeh gam ken karov alav, has something to do with you. Yarav echaver chutz lebeisoi. The friend and the rabbi are outside of you. Achem kroivim lo beyoise, but he's very close to you. V'chakach sher adam, kesher merabu, v'chakach em chaver, v'chakach sher adam. You see that he's creating society first with his rabbi, his friends, and then with everybody else. They are the ones who created community, which makes sense now, because now you have the Prushim as a community, the Tzdukim as a community, and by nature, and by osmosis, creating the essence of the community. And Chazal say the essence community, that community of Qumran, is what enabled, allowed, and created Christianity to flourish. Because there was an expectation of a Jesus. So in other words, Jesus would not come out of thin air. People say, who are you? But he had an audience waiting. So you imagine, he comes back and John the Baptist says, is he the one or maybe somebody else? You're waiting for somebody. So he said, wow, this is the one. So I told you, it persisted from the time of Yeshua ben Prachia, which is for basically 200 years, 150 years. We know that. We know that Qumran was there before. We know that Qumran was, by the way, you realize that now every community, because the community split, because you realize before there was Klal Yisrael, and there were different views. But imagine you have the Hashmonaim who did the miracle of Hanukkah, and they become the symbol of corruption. So you have to reframe the miracle and to co-opt the miracle for you. Becomes a machloikes of what Klal Yisrael is all about. You realize that before there were the Hellenists, there were the Greeks, and we're the Jews. So that's Yossi ben Yochanan and Yossi ben Yoezer. They create a boundary, which is the home. But the community was the Jewish community. Now, you see that the Jewish community, which are the people who fought against the Greeks, they become the symbol of corruption. So the question is, who is the Jewish community? And these people ran away and they come back. The Prushim come back to Yerushalayim. And that's the Meshuvah ben Prachya. And there were people who refused to come back. They said they are receiving us nicely, but the leaders are all corrupt. And they go, because of that, to the desert, and they took the bricks, which means the basic ideas, and they created a new community. And this is the beginning of the community. By the way, you realize the Maccabees, how are they reframing Hanukkah? They're reframing Hanukkah as the people from the desert were the Hasidim. They are the ones who fought. Hashem gave an eight-day holiday to what? To validate them, because you lost sukkahs. You were in the desert, you were in caves. Now I give you an opportunity to do sukkahs. So Hanukkah became a validation of what? Of Sukkot. By why Sukkot? Because Qumran could not celebrate Sukkot. How did Chazal say? Yes. Like animals. Exactly right. You realize that Chazal Michael is saying, because they always say that they lived like animals, right? Because they lived in the desert. They didn't have a civilization. Sukkot is the example that animals are given Sukkot. And that's why he says, realize that that's why in Qumran, by the way, had to be apocalyptic, right? Because these people living in the desert, they had the imagination that they should belong in the temple. They believed in themselves. They were, they say all the time, that they were the followers of Tzadok HaKohen. So here they have a Hashmonaim that took away the temple, took away the priesthood, and it belongs to them. So when are they going to come back? What are we, minced meat? So they tell them, don't worry about it. There is, and you'll see, that will be a Mashiach that comes. Who is the Mashiach that comes? Jesus says, I'm the one. You've been waiting for me. I'm the one. So John the Baptist says, are you the one? Maybe there's somebody else. He says, no, I made all the nisim that you guys are waiting for. I checked all the boxes. So you realize that Chazal are saying this. Now, how did Chazal? So you realize something. The story of Hanukkah needed to be reframed. Because the center of the, what was the center before? The center before is the Hashmonaim. Hashmonaim wanted to do what's right. God made them successful. The Hashmonaim became completely corrupt. That's why Chazal, in the literature, he don't have any mention almost of Hashmonaim. He say he based Hashmonaim. The people are not there. There's no Matisyahu, the Yehuda Maccabi, and Shimon Maccabi. We have no name. We don't see them as anybody. So the reframing of Maccabim is the people on the Midbar. You see that clearly. What did Chazal do? And that you see the, and go for a few more minutes, and then we'll continue Mishem the next time. We'll see at the end of the Maccabees handout, you have something called Megillas Tainis. And Megillas Tainis is the first time, which is in rabbinic literature, they talk about the story of the Hanukkah, of the Shemen. Okay? You see, Be'eser v'chamisha bo, in the first of the Nuschois, Be'eser v'chamisha bo, Tzmanye yoymu dolalimis, but nishetimu agoyimis be'samik, der shetofu malchu b'chashmone, batku matzu Shemen Toer, they found the Shemen Toer, v'idliku bo esaneirus, kolo esaneirum, shliku bo esaneirus, asom yontev, they made yontev for the days that they found the Shemen. Okay? והלא חנוכה שעשה מוישה אין על השיבה, שעוד מין only 7 days, שוימקתי ביום הרישס קורבונוי, בשבי בשבז יקיפור, ולא חנוכה ששלום אין על השיבה, why 7 days? מה הרלסות? שמוינה, why did they decide to do 8 days? Sid Megillat Steinitz asks, Ela b'miyovan nichto chashmonoi l'arabayis v'shiva shmudim shel barzel v'chibur bebes v'iskag v'oshmoina. There were 8 days to do it. And this is, you see, that even the candles is not that. He just said, have the candles. But the reason they did is because it took 8 days to be Chanukah HaMizbeach. The second nusach, okay, of Chavei Miklisa, b'iksiv v'chamisha be'i yomi Chanukah d'olam mispad. ביום ראשון חנוכה סמויש, אז זאת חנוכה סמייך, אוקיי, משלום מובילך. חנוכה סמייש השמונה דהומיה, למה נוהג אז לדויר שעשור מציסה ביצור לרווח ומור בהלול, והדליקו בו הנירס בתיירה, יסי בפירוש, למד לכנאי שניחצו לבון ונחל, תימו כל השמונים, ולא ישמן כמה ליד, כשבור חשמונוי, מוצו פח אחד, ונעשה נס, ודליקו מן השמונה יומים. ומצו מזבח סוסו, ותקנו כל שמונה. So the idea of nerus start in Megillas Tainis. Because that became, so Megill, no, what year? Now, I'll tell you what Rabbi Yoshi Ber says, we're going to see, because clearly, if you look at the Gemara asks, my Chanukah, what is Chanukah? And the Gemara brings the story of the nearest. Because my Chanukah, Maral also say, Alei Zenes Kovoboy. What is the message of Chanukah? It's not the Chashmonoim, it's not the people in the caves. The message of Chanukah, the narrative becomes the nearest. Because the Neiros, the Maral, and I'll show you, let's look at the Maral, how the Maral explains the Gemara. And then we'll talk, we'll continue next week. My Chanukah, the Gemara asks. The Tanu Rabbon, Chavei Kisle, B'Chanukah, T'manyeinu. The 8 days of Chanukah, the Loshon Megillas Tainis, is on the handout, is on the regular handout. The Lamispa of the Lissandos, B'Hom Kshix, Livorim Laichu, Timu Kol Hashmonim, the Livorim Kei, the Timu Kol Hashmonim, Kishagov Rabbi Chashmon Nitzchu, Botk V'Lumotze L'Pachechat, Shol Shemesh Abudai B'Chotam Hashem Godol. They found only one vessel of oil, V'lo Yabo El Adlik Yom Echad, Asibonez Likum Menu Shmone Yom. L'Shon Acheres, in another year, doesn't say what year, Kovum V'Sovim Tovim B'Hal V'Oido, they made B'Hal V'Oido, Rashi says about Lokas Aneres. In another year, we don't know what year it was. So says the Maharim Tovim, Kim Shush Nasir Ibn Nizba Lokash, Oti B'Til Ad Lokash, Kovim Chanukah, Chanukah was. The Gemara says, my Chanukah, what's Chanukah? It's because of the candles? Who cares about the miracle of the candles? Kiman Shechayav Al Oidus Le'al, Ezek Asher Nesel B'Shvilo V'Asalos, V'Shush Nasir Ibn Nizba, Mitzvah. When, says the Maharim, did we ever celebrate a miracle to be able to do a mitzvah? Doesn't make any sense. We're celebrating a miracle because of the candles. Kina mitzvah lodom. The mitzvah is not for us, it's for Hashem. So what's the celebration? What says my Chanukah? Because they light the candles. Fiyadom shibiyad nemal kevorot zevon nevat la toira kdosh l'Israel. Chazal are trying the narrative. What the Greeks, the victory against the Greeks was because the Greeks were trying to bring Hellenism to us. Ki mitzvah lani malas sichlis elokis. And here is the ability for us to go ahead and to connect to God. It's a celebration of the connection to God. Okay? Now, skip it to the next paragraph. Ve'oid yeshloime she'ikar ma shekovu nes Chanukah. Says Chanukah really is she'nitzchus evonim, is the celebration or victory against the Seleucid Greeks. Actually, anire she'akan itzochu nazer edin nes she'os hazeh she'mizborov hazeh b'kuyuch m'vorosam. But what's the narrative of the miracle? The miracle is our celebration in victory against the Greeks. But why? Why did God do it? So the nearest of the menorah, the miracle of the candles, to tell you that everything came from God. The miracle of the candles are giving you the narrative of the miracle of the war. Chazal used the candles as a way to show of what the narrative of the miracle was, the 8 days. There was 8 days of celebration. The reverse engineer of 8 days of celebration, either because to justify Qumran, but the candles become the idea of the Purushim. That's Torah Shebal Peh, that's the lighting of the candles, that's the Taira. Because the idea of the Yevonim is the Dermetamed, the Eichel, כמו שומרו בכל מוקוים, and Hashem is Borach, so he says, what the candles come to do is to tell you the koyach of Chazal, of the Torah Shebal Peh, that we light the candles. That is human initiative, and that's tired of the Mikdash, and that's exactly the counterpart to Greek philosophy. Chazal used the candles to give a narrative on the Nes of Chanukah. In my view, this is the time when Maccabees were. At the time of the split of the community, the creation of the new community, there was a need of a new narrative. Qumran writes a narrative focused on the caves. We focused on the Kohen Gadol lighting the candles that you light from your own volition, and God makes your own lighting succeed. This is the narrative, that candles are the counterpart of Torah Shebaal Peh to the Maccabees 1 and 2. Rabbi Yoshe Ber is going to say that the candles came later, after the Churban. So it's after the Churban, which is in another 200 years. But in my view, there was a need. It would be very difficult to understand that the community will celebrate Hanukkah without a narrative. The narrative to say the Hashmonaim, they did what's right, they are the frum people, doesn't work. I mean, they're all corrupt. To go ahead and to reframe like Maccabees did, the 8 days, doesn't make any sense. Chazal said the candles represent what Torah Shebaal Peh is all about. That's why the candles, Rabbi Yisai, become the paragon and the paradigm of Torah Shebaal Peh. Everybody uses the candles at Torah Shebaal Peh. Huh? No, the 8 days was a celebration there. We don't know original. Why is it 8 days? They celebrated 8 days. I told you, if you ask Megillah Stein, is the original, says, why 8 days? Because it took 8 days to get the Beis Hamikdash working. That's it. They celebrated for 8 days. If you look at the first Nusach, it's very practical. Huh? Was 7 days plus one. 7 days. So maybe that's what they did. But Megillah Stein, so they did the celebration for 8 days. Megillah Stein says, because practically it took 8 days to get the thing back into functioning, right? Chazal say, no, the 8 days is the significance. Either Qumran writes it as Sukkot, Chazal take it as the candles. The candles come to represent Torah Shebaal Peh. By the way, all the halachas and all the machloikesing and all the discussions and the arguments, if you light the candles, mehadrin, mehadrin, mehadrin. That's why you light in the house to be madrig bachutz, because it becomes your symbol. Right, look at Yossi ben Yochanan and Yossi ben Yoezer, who are the Zuga Rishon of Pulus Shalavan. They focus on the home. So this becomes your symbol. Mezuzah bimin, and Ner Chanukah mismol. Ner Chanukah becomes the idea that you create, and also the idea of Shemen. The Mara will say Shemen, Shmini. There's so many drushes. There's not so much was written, so little was written on the war, and so much is focused on that. On that locus and ears. That locus and ears said that Baal says, this is explaining to you what the miracle was all about. And that becomes the paragon. That's how locus and ears, that becomes the paragon that we bring light to the world. In the world of darkness, we bring the light. And God wants us to be their partner, because you realize the menorah is the time that God says, I want you to bring light to the world. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. That's human intervention. God doesn't add light. In the point in time, he tells you, you bring the light and I'll make it happen. This becomes a narrative. So the candles become the counterpart to the narratives of the Maccabees, of Maccabees 1 and Maccabees 2. So it makes sense that this is the beginning of that. But the 8 days were there. This is basically like everything else that we reframe, we retell an existing idea. That's the Shebaal Peh, that's a narrative, that's an interpretation. You reinterpret an existing mitzvah. And this is the beginning of the community. So you see, the beginning of community, of Torah Shebaal Peh as a community, is Yeshua ben Prachya and Nitayar Bailey. By creating our community, we enable the community with the counterpart. Chazal are going to say, and you'll see that the real enemy of Torah Shebaal Peh are not the Sadducees. Who is the real enemy of Torah Shebaal Peh in Chazal? Is Jesus of Nazareth. And this we'll see in 2 weeks, how the Gemara in Gittin describes what's the punishment of Jesus of Nazareth, his community, because his community will be exactly the opposition or the counterbalance of Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's why he's dealing with Torah Tachas. We'll see in 2 weeks. Thank you very much.